Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Boy, that is an honor. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm K.G. Klein.
And this is Back Talk. Toy Story 5?
Toy Story 5.
How can it be possible?
Well, and there is a long story to that, which we'll get to, but what a film. John, it is very rare that I ever say a film is perfect, but this film is perfect. This is the perfect movie. I would not change a thing about it. And, you know, and it's so great when we can sit here and talk about a children's movie that is this good, because I don't think there's any movies in the world that are more influential than kids' movies. Something we take our kids to, they learn something, they learn experiences, they learn social connections from watching this movie, and then they take that with them as they grow up. We still remember the movies that we grew up with to this day, and kids will continue to do the same. And I am so happy when I can say to parents out there, this is the perfect children's movie. It's an instant classic.
What makes it, for me, so beautifully everlasting is that it's also for adults.
It is.
I go to it not expecting to be talked down to. I go to it with a plot so internally heavy that if you don't look at it as an adult film, you could be very pleased. But if you do, you can say to yourself, what a genius Pixar is, that it could appeal to so many people in so many levels and visually have just a beautiful presentation.
Adults are going to take something different from this movie than kids are, but that's how a children's movie needs to work, because you're reaching the children at one level with one level of experience behind them, but you're reaching the adults at a completely different level with another level of experience behind them. That we need to talk to adults differently. We need to have something meaningful to say to the parents when they're watching a movie, just at the same time that the kids are learning from this movie. And this film, Toy Story 5, does it better. And I might even go on a limb and say this is the best of the Toy Story franchise.
Very well could be. I'd have to go back, and you're going to talk about sequels, and I might talk a little bit about, or ask you about, Pixar's early successes.
Well, Toy Story 2 is on my list of the five best sequels of all time. Toy Story 2 is an amazing expansion of the universe that Toy Story 1 created. It did everything right. But in terms of influencing parents, teaching parents something, I think Toy Story 5 takes it to a new level.
As I look at Toy Story 5, for me, for an adult, I'm reminded how important relationships are, human relationships are. And you would think, well, John, isn't, you know, you're so old. How is this news? It's not news, but it's an emphasis on how important friendships are and how important we are for each other in helping, as I think of Bonnie
and Blaze.
Yeah. How I'm so interested in introverts. I'm not talking to an introvert here.
You might be surprised, John. But remember, we are on radio, so it's easy for it to be an introvert and be on radio. Let's step back and talk a little bit about what this story is. This is a story about tech. This is what they've decided to do with Toy Story 5. Toy Story 5 is set probably a decade or more in the future from Toy Story 4. Entirely new set of human characters. And that was a very wise decision. They didn't want to go legacy with this. They didn't want to just rehash the same characters and the same old themes. So everything is now 10 years in the future. All the kids and the people are different from what we've seen in the past. But the toys are the same. What has happened is tech has invaded the home. It has invaded the children's playtime. And instead of children interacting with each other and playing games and playing, heck, even Dungeons and Dragons, as I did, they are now all sitting in their dark rooms with their tablets playing online games with each other, assuming that these people on the other end are their friends. But in most cases, they've never met them. They don't know who they are. They're just somebody else who's on the quest with them. And when they turn off their tablet at the end of the day, they know more about that person than they did when they first started. And that is not friendship. And what this film is trying to teach parents, as much as it's trying to tell kids, friendship is bonding. It's kids getting together. It's kids having combined experiences in the physical world, not sitting in front of a laptop or a tablet all day long.
The implication from what you have said is that it applies to parents as well. All of us are using our phones daily and practically hourly. We as adults are using
it. So our phones, our laptops, our desktops are becoming the substitute for physical interaction. Now, COVID had something to do with that. We've moved on now, and it's time for people to get back together. You know, it's great when we go to the Columbus Rib and Jazz Fest with 25,000 other people, and everybody's having a combined experience. But away from those weekend experiences, how much of our time are we sitting in front of a laptop for our entertainment, for our socializing, or in front of our phone? This is not healthy. But in fairness, what Toy Story 5 does so great is it doesn't villainize the tech. The tech turns out to be valuable in and of itself. And there's a great new character in this, Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
As a potty training toy.
Yes, toilet, toilet training game.
Toilet training game is his character's name.
Yes.
And he is hysterical because one of the characters, Blaze, has moved gradually into tech. She started young with little games and little handhelds and a little camera, and then she moved her way up to laptops, while as the other character, Bonnie, our main character, went straight from playing with dolls, and she's nine, to being handed a children's tablet named Lilypad, who starts out as kind of villainous, but she has an ulterior motive based on her programming, and she's not really a bad tech. She's just misguided by what she thinks a child should be doing versus what the dolls and the toys think a child should be doing. And I love that nobody is entirely right. It's a gray area, and this movie does a great job covering the gray spectrum of this.
Well, that's why I move it from that tech business, so that I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I discount the tech aspect of this, which is so powerful. And I think about the relationships, as I had said much earlier, about how we depend upon each other, how we need each other, and separate from the text. And so you get Lilypad coming in, and then she turns out to be helpful.
She turns out to have capabilities that are helpful to a child as well, and becomes crucial in a couple of the chase scenes. But one thing I want to address, I really want parents to listen in when I say this. The two main child characters in this film are both autistic. And this is new territory for Disney. Disney has been dabbling in broadening their place on the children's spectrum. Strange Worlds, we introduced the first homosexual child. This one introduces autism. And that's such a tricky subject, because autism is not one thing. It's many, many things.
So where do you find it?
What I found in this movie is it displays two different characters on two different places in the spectrum, and it does it very faithfully.
So who are they?
It's Bonnie and Blaze, okay. Especially Bonnie. Bonnie is semi-functional on the autism spectrum. She is so painfully shy at nine that she's hiding behind her parents' legs at every single encounter with a new human being. I'm sure there are parents out there who have autistic kids who are immediately going to see themselves in this situation. But what I also found gratifying was the kids in the audience were connecting strongly with her. And this is one of those rare movies where I heard the kids in the audience cheering and applauding at one time, and then shouting in unison, "No!" when the character does something painful later on, which means that this is a movie that kids really connect
with. Now, where do you find the autism in Blaze?
In Blaze, the autism is that at nine, she's still playing with dolls, but she's also very theatrical. And I got to tell you, John, having been in a theater, there's a lot of autistic people in the theater. But it breaks down your social barriers. What you consider to be something inappropriate is kind of lost sometimes in autism. And as a result, you get people who act out in very theatrical ways. And theater becomes a way that they can continue to do so into teenage years and into high school. And I think some of our top actors out there are autistic. I know for a fact that, what was the name of the woman that played in Splash, the blonde?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes,
she is very high, almost non-functional on the autism spectrum, yet she still made a huge name for herself as an actress.
All right, KG Klein, we have so much more to say about Toy Story 5. What do you advise? Now, you know, I know what you're going to advise, but I just want to preface this by saying finding a film that can please everybody these days is very difficult. So do you find that so with Toy Story 5?
I started this by saying this is a perfect movie.
Yes.
And it is a perfect movie that is also for kids. So this is such a rarity. This movie is an instant classic. Go out, see it one or two times in the theater, and then it's going to be on Disney Channel forever. You'll be watching it over and over again. But do make an effort to see it once in the theater so your kids can have that shared experience with all the other kids in the theater, which is a key to what this whole movie is about.
Ken, we're talking about Toy Story 5. Yeah. I just want to mention, before you get into your sequels, I'd like to mention some of the beauty of this film, but one shot struck me as brilliant. And this is the photorealism of the Buzz Lightyear's squadron of them coming up. And I thought this was, and then it attaches to the kids. And, you know, I just found it was a brilliant piece, not only for its photorealism, but also for the meaning behind this, the squadron of Buzzes. And Buzz is not the brightest guy.
No, not intended to be.
No, he's not intended.
One of the saving graces of Toy Story, which makes every Toy Story film good, if not great, you've got Tom Hanks and Tim Allen. You're not going to go wrong with those two guys. You can have them reading the phone book, and it's going to be a great movie. This movie brings Conan O'Brien in, and boy, is he a perfect fit for this group as well. But, and I got to say, Jessie has never been one of my favorite characters. I always found her to be a little two-dimensional, but she's the driving force. They turn this movie over largely to Jessie, and she carries it nicely. One thing, though, you asked earlier.
That's Joan Cusack.
Joan Cusack.
Right, okay.
I always thought her voice was perhaps just a little too old for the doll. She sounds like a 40-year-old when everybody else. Okay, yeah, Tom Hanks doesn't sound like a kid, neither does Tim Allen, but I'll be a little more forgiving. A toy doll girl would probably have a little younger voice, but what do I know? But you had asked when we started, how did we get to Toy Story 5? And that's a really interesting story, so I want to address that. In 2022, as Disney was struggling, they had just had two flops on their hands. One was Raya and the Last Dragon, and then the other was called Strange Worlds. Who remembers Strange Worlds? It died in the theater in a week. Without telling anybody in Burbank Studios, in the Disney Animation Studios, where I know people who work there, Bob Iger, the then CEO of Disney, goes in front of a shareholders meeting with angry shareholders and says, "We are going to make Zootopia 2, Toy Story 5, Frozen 3.
Right.
Meanwhile, Jennifer Lee and the artistic staff at Disney Studios are going, "Wait, what? We are doing what?" And they were blindsided. He literally did not tell a single soul at the studio that he was going to make this announcement. The idea was, let's go back to our biggest money-making franchises. And, of course, the fear was exploit them. But then Zootopia 2 came out last year, and it turned out to be really good, and it did make $1 billion. So then Toy Story 5, which seemed to be the biggest throwaway of the three, because Toy Story 4 had ended on a concluding note, and this could just be a legacy piece, and now we've got this perfect movie. So my hopes now is when Thanksgiving 2027 comes around, the one that has the most depth, Frozen 3, is going to be something really outstanding. Jennifer Lee, I hope you can pull this off and turn this into something that's a little better than Frozen 2 and make something that brings Disney back into the $1.5 billion money-making routine that they used to be in.
If you look at some of the earlier Pixar, and I just picked a couple that struck me as so sophisticated and so not just following the formula. Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc.
You know, it was a great one, I thought.
Fun movie. Showed that CGI could now do hair.
I'm looking at their attitude toward the industrial complex and surviving all of that. And I thought, here, this is a very heavy-duty subject, but again, they make it so pleasing. Another one that I found different for them, and this is, I give them praise for going off on a different direction, is The Incredibles.
The Incredibles, yeah. Great, great film from them. A family film about a family.
Yeah.
And that's what, and great voice talent, especially for me. The standout character in that is the woman who designs the costumes.
Very good. You could go on and on. One that I just loved, and I don't know how kids could love it, but I certainly, Ratatouille. Yeah.
Yeah, Ratatouille.
Yeah, and I thought, much as I love eating out,
mm-hmm.
and yet it also, it's criticism of somewhat effete critics. It puts us all down.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yep.
So I thought it did a great job with that. Again, but very sophisticated.
Over the last 30 years, Pixar has actually had a higher level of success with its movies than Disney Animation has. They've had fewer missteps. Cars, perfect example.
Oh,
Cars,
very good, 2006.
Yes, what a great, great film. Now, I want to step back a little bit, though.
Yeah.
In all of these Pixar movies, Toy Story 1 and Cars, they're all attributed to John Lasseter. John Lasseter became the artistic director of both Pixar and then Disney Animation simultaneously. He's the only person that's ever worn both of those hats that didn't have Disney in his last name. And he's also the mind that brought Disney Animation into Tangled, Frozen. Those films all can be attributed to his guiding influence.
Is he still around?
He is still around. Now, he did get relieved by Disney because
yes.
he had created something of a toxic work environment. There were a lot of complaints within the animation studio
yeah,
and within Pixar.
Yeah.
And one indication that something was a bit amiss was when they had the big D23 Disney convention in Anaheim a number of years ago, and the big exhibit was John Lasseter's favorite Hawaiian shirts.
Mm.
And so, he got a little full of himself, and he got the boot. But Disney, unfortunately, has suffered since then.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make an argument that, yeah, he deserved to go. He did some things he shouldn't have been doing. But he was terrific while he was there. Tangled only exists because of Lasseter. Frozen only happened because he stepped in and helped guide major changes, because Frozen was one meeting away from being shut down when Lasseter intervened and said, let's go this direction. But Lasseter is now working at Skydance Studios. He's running their animation department. We haven't seen a lot of production come out of Skydance Animation. Mostly Skydance is connected with the Mission Impossible movies, but he's there. He also has a winery. So if you want, Lasseter, you can buy some of his wine.
Well, Ken, look again, and I'm so pleased with the variety of Pixar. I don't think anybody else does the kind of sequel business that you've talked about and just presenting brilliant movies. One that I thought was very understated and brilliant that I think people still kind of, it comes back to them easy, WALL-E.
WALL-E, yeah, another fantastic film.
Wow, this yeah. little character.
Yeah.
Not much. He's just moving along, cleaning up the place, and then finding love in a very simple way. I just thought the plot is brilliant.
And that was a film that was really intended more for adult audiences.
Yeah.
They wanted something that was simplistic, but that could reach a slightly higher level. Now, one thing I will say is that Pixar, when it started out, and then after it merged with Disney under Lasseter, it was considered that Disney was aiming more towards the girls with the princess movies.
Okay.
And Pixar was geared more towards boys with things
right.
like Incredibles and Cars and other films that they were putting out. It tended to have more of a boy orient. and Lasseter was the one that came up with the idea of no longer using the original names of the fairy tales, like Little Mermaid, in the title, because that was keeping boys away from going to the movies. And he said, from now on, we're going to do just a one-word title that's benign enough that it won't keep boys away. So Rapunzel became Tangled. The Snow Queen became Frozen.
You're right.
And this did actually work. It helped. They actually started getting more boys into the audience to see the movies. But definitely Pixar has been more male-oriented, whereas Disney throughout the early 2000s was more geared towards girls.
Talking about audiences that might have been ignored. 17 years ago, they came across with one that I just can't forget. And I think there are other people who also can't. And this is Up.
Oh, Up. Oh, God, yes.
I mean, and then talking about older people.
Yes.
And younger people. How brilliant is that?
Up has been incorporated into fandom. And for those of you out there who know what I mean when I say fandom, I'm talking about fans of science fiction, fantasy, horror.
Very good, yes.
Up is in there. And when you go to art shows, fanish art shows, it's not uncommon to see artwork depicting the Up characters because they're considered to be part of that fandom. Frozen's gotten in there, too. Frozen's become part of fandom as well. But definitely Up has an appeal to a primarily older audience. And Up does very, very well for Disney. Disney continues to make hundreds of millions of dollars every year off merchandising from Up when you would think that it's not remembered, but no, it is.
One that I think is really out there for Pixar, but I think is so sophisticated and probably better for adults than it is for kids. Inside Out.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
always intended for adults.
Yes.
Yes. Well, intended for kids too, but the gist of it really was for adults based on a concept of a single psychologist about how your mind works, especially in your developing years as adolescents, and turning it into characters. Worked great. The sequel is fantastic. I think we did the sequel.
Yes.
Yeah, they're fun, fun films, and they have a big, strong following now as well.
But talking about them being based in true psychology.
Based on one person's view of how the mind develops.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and I think a very good one. So I don't find too much, I don't find too many, except for Toy Story 5, having the glamour of the early ones, ones that we've talked about right now. I just find it settling a bit. That's why I'm so glad to see Toy Story 5 to come up, because I thought they were...
I would say Toy Story 5 is Pixar's best film since Up.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had others that I have. Turning Red.
Turning Red, great film. Originally was going to go straight to video, and then they decided to do a release. But Turning Red is interesting because it's sort of like the Judy Blume of Pixar films. It's about a adolescent girl experiencing hormone changes.
Death.
And going through puberty.
Very
and it's
good.
Depicted
Thank you.
And her turning into a monster.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
Well, there's one that I barely can remember. And I don't even know if I went to see it. It didn't seem appealing to me. Lightyear.
Lightyear was Pixar's Toy Story misstep.
Ah.
Let's take Buzz Lightyear out of the Toy Story franchise and let's make him a character in a real Star Command universe. Good film, not great film. Tim Allen by himself could not save the film. Most notable for the first time that Disney presented a homosexual relationship in any of its films.
Yes.
There was a lesbian couple in the film, but very much in the background, only played as characters, not at the forefront. So that's the one big thing that comes out of that film when anybody talks about it is the big step that Disney took with that movie.
All right, KG Klein.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about Toy Story 5, and when you do that, you can't help but talk about Pixar as a corporation, as a very important part of our entertainment for the last 20, 30 years. Amazing. What are your final words on it for us? We've got people out there who are saying to themselves, maybe I could take my kids let my kids see more Pixar. There seems to be so much to it.
Pixar does not struggle for audiences. It plays on the Disney Channel and streaming very, very well. The Toy Story movies are one of their biggest financial successes. Kids are still buying toys and things related to the Toy Story franchise. And having this film come out is just going to solidify that even more. Frankly, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a Toy Story 6. I really would.
I grant you. And I did want to say, as much as I love Tom Hanks, I love him even more with just his voice.
Oh, yeah.
It is indescribably good for that character.
And I want to point out that Buzz and Woody are secondary characters in this.
Yes,
they're
they
backup
are.
Characters. This is really Jesse's movie.
Yes.
And then Jesse and Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
And they make for a great team. And I would like to see a Toy Story 6, if for no other reason than to see Buzz and Woody interacting with Conan O'Brien's potty training character, develop that even more.
Well, given what I believe to be your very unusual insight into all of this and animation, which is why I'm so happy to talk with you about it. It doesn't come to me easily. And so I'm always enjoy hearing about what you have to say. And when you gave me your report, which I so appreciated too, I wanted to say, I'll bet this is a good one. And boy, it was even better than that. Toy Story 5.